You're listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Katie Frankwitz, and I'll soon be joined by my co-host, Skylar Butenshin. It's Monday, June 30th. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek says the state may soon begin laying off essential road workers. That comes after lawmakers adjourned the 2025 legislative session without finding new money for transportation. Dirk Vanderhart reports.
In a meeting with reporters, Kotek railed against lawmakers for failing to agree on any new money for the Oregon Department of Transportation. Without that funding, the governor says she may have to lay off upwards of 600 employees. And with the 2025 session officially adjourned, she says lawmakers can expect to hear from her.
I don't care how tired you are. I don't care what your vacation plans are. We are going to solve this. You're going to be spending a lot more time with me. We need to get this figured out.
Democrats had made a road funding bill a top priority of this year's session, but a hugely ambitious tax proposal could not find enough support. When Democrats, including Kotek, scrambled on the session's last day to pass a more modest gas tax increase, Republicans refused to fast-track a vote. In Salem, I'm Dirk Vanderhart reporting.
Despite rising fuel prices, Oregonians are still expected to head out in droves to celebrate the 4th of July. KLCC's Gabriella Scrow reports.
The number of Americans traveling by car over Independence Day weekend could break records, according to AAA. Marie Dodds is the Director of Government and Public Affairs for AAA Oregon-Idaho. She says 875,000 Oregonians are expected to travel over the holiday, with the majority of those going by car. Those who hit the road may notice a recent increase in the price of gas. Oil prices have jumped in the last week. In Oregon, prices rose by 7 cents to an average of $4.08 a gallon. Though, Dodd said that travelers are undeterred by this rise.
People will make plans to travel, and then depending on what gas prices are doing, they may try to find ways to make their trip as inexpensive as possible.
Dodd says that could include staying with friends or dining out less often. I'm Gabriella Scrow, reporting.
Last year, southern resident orcas were added to Oregon's endangered species list. Now, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife is seeking public input on how to protect them. KLCC's Julia Bobach reports.
Southern resident orcas use the Oregon coast as a travel corridor between feeding areas. As an endangered species, the ODFW has drafted a management plan for their protection. John North is the agency's Fish Division Deputy Administrator. He says a meeting on July 9th will discuss the management plan for the orcas and allow for public comment.
We certainly can't guarantee a fix of the population, so we'll talk about what we think we can do, what the average person can do, and we'll get feedback on our plan.
The plan includes actions to recover wild salmon populations that are the whale's main prey and increase outreach and awareness of the orcas and the threats to their survival. I'm Julia Bobach, reporting.
For decades, the West Coast Game Park Safari attracted visitors traveling along the Oregon coast. That was until local, state, and federal agencies raided the business this spring. Court documents and interviews with former employees reveal some of what is alleged to have been going on at this roadside zoo. Jefferson Public Radio's Justin Higginbottom reports.
Amanda Zamora lived for a while in a house near the West Coast Game Park Safari in Bandon. She says at night she would often hear a lion's roar. Pretty surreal for the Oregon coast. She thought it was cool and eventually took a job at the zoo.
My whole life revolves around animals, you know, so like I was so stoked for this.
That's when she learned those late-night roars weren't coming from inside the park. The owner of the zoo, Brian Tenney, kept a lion alone in an enclosure near this huge house he was building just outside the zoo. Zamora says the animal was neglected. She started thinking of that roar as a cry.
After I worked there and after I learned that that was her crying, I would play music or something while she did it because I couldn't listen to it. It was too sad. I couldn't. It was horrible.
Authorities raided the roadside zoo in May after allegations of widespread animal neglect. Federal inspectors report missing animals with no record of sale or death, a dead tiger in a freezer. When police searched that big unfinished house with the lion on its property, they found dealer quantities of meth. They also found over $1 million in a vault and over 40 guns. For Zamora, there were some red flags. She says one day they made thousands of dollars from admissions and the gift shop.
And he told me to throw away the receipts and to not write it down. I thought that was very weird. He did not want that large sum of money being documented, basically.
The IRS was one of the agencies which served a warrant at the zoo. According to court documents, police think Tenney had buried buckets of cash on the property. Yet former employees say animals were often underfed. The zoo had a number to call for meat donations.
Pretty much every single day, there was either a baby born that was dead, stillborn, or there was an animal that was dying, or there was animals that didn't have water or food.
That's Alexis Farmer. She worked at the zoo in 2023 and says there were only three other employees when she was there, caring for hundreds of animals. U.S. Department of Agriculture inspection reports note lions with protruding ribs.
The big cats only ate maybe once a week, and it was usually just bones that had been sitting in the freezer that somebody had donated.
Two other former employees made allegations similar to Zamore and Farmer's accounts. Oregon actually has some of the best resources in the country to investigate animal abuse. The Oregon Humane Society, a nonprofit, has their own law enforcement team. It also has an animal crimes forensic center in Portland, the only one on the West Coast.
One of the things that really makes Oregon unique is we have humane law enforcement officers here who are commissioned by the Oregon State Police, and we have that forensic center here. So we're the only state in the country that has both of those things.
That's Laura Klink with the Oregon Humane Society. Still, West Coast Game Park Safari had been operating without a state wildlife exhibitor's permit since June of 2023. Since that time, federal inspectors cited the park 80 times for violations of animal welfare laws. Employees at the zoo usually didn't last long. Zamora, who worked at the gift shop, says she quit after the owner physically attacked her.
I wanted to stay there so bad for the animals, but you know what? The animals will get their justice one day. I can't drag myself through this as well. So I left.
Brian Tenney, the owner, hasn't responded to requests for comment. Police arrested him on drug charges, and they seized and rehomed all 300 of his animals. That includes a chimpanzee named George, who was left alone after his mate died. Inspectors found him withdrawn, facing the wall of his enclosure. George is now at a sanctuary in Washington. That's given Farmer, the other former employee, some relief.
And I cry about that almost every day. I'm really happy for them.
The story is over for the animals. The criminal case against the zoo's owner, meanwhile, is just starting. I'm Justin Higginbottom in Ashland.
Earlier this month, multiple response groups participated in a first-of-its-kind collaborative exercise to simulate the aftermath of a maximum Cascadia subduction zone earthquake and tsunami, flying emergency supplies from Aurora to the Tillamook Airport. Four agencies all helped execute the exercise, being called the Whale Run, the Oregon Department of Human Services Office of Resilience and Emergency Management, Tillamook County Emergency Management, the Emergency Volunteer Corps of Nehalem Bay, and the Port of Tillamook Bay. After making the supply drop-off at the Tillamook Airport, volunteer pilots from the Oregon Disaster Airlift Response Team participated in a further drill to practice triage decision-making. State Regional Emergency Coordinator Jeff Gilbert said his team was impressed by the results of the exercise and that coordination between agencies was smooth. Similar drills also took place up and down the Oregon coast. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com.
For weather today in the Lower Columbia River region, sunny with highs in the mid-70s. Increasing clouds this evening with lows in the mid-50s. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, then gradually becoming sunny with highs in the high 60s. Tomorrow night, increasing clouds with lows in the low 50s. You're listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 a.m. every weekday. And of course, you'll always find today's local and regional news here at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.